It's time for you to walk in it. I have already prepared the way that is life. I am here to give you life and life more abundantly. It is your choice. Whatever decision you make, that is the way that you will walk. I implore you to choose life, to walk in my way of victory. Tonight is your way of victory. Walk in the path that I will show you, and things will never be the same again. Lord, we thank you for your word. We give you praise and honor and glory. We glorify your word, Father. We lift up the name of Jesus that is higher than any other name. We place it above every situation and above everything that would dare infiltrate into our life. And Father, we just speak that we are covered by the blood of Jesus tonight in this place, and that we have ears to hear and eyes to see what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. And I say tonight that as your word goes forth, no other voice from the past, the present, and what we think will be in the future can override the voice of the Holy Ghost. But we can hear clearly everything that he has to say to us tonight, and that we are good soil and we will bring forth much fruit for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, praise God. You may be seated tonight. Amen. It's good to be in the house of God. Amen. Pastor Doug and our teenagers, they are at youth camp this week right now, and they are having an incredible time. The ministers that they have with them there are youth pastors that have been youth pastors for 13 years, and they are all about fire. So both the husband and wife minister, and everyone is having a good time. Amen? And lots of breakthroughs are happening at youth camp. So we're excited about that. You can go ahead, Josiah. And so anyway, so you have me tonight. I'm going to bring the word of God to you. Amen? We have a few things going on. I know some of you don't normally come to our Sunday service, so I wanted to let you know of some things we're doing. We have a community pancake breakfast that we are doing here on September 19th, and it is for the Palmyra Fire Company. All the proceeds that we raise that day will go directly to the Palmyra Fire Company. So if you would like to participate, just let us know. We have tickets that will be on sale, and we want to bless that fire company. Amen? And then something brand new that we'll talk about on Sunday, but I wanted to give you a heads up. So you come on Wednesday night, you get to hear it first. We are doing we're sending out a casting call to kids in our community for them to participate in a Thanksgiving Christmas program here at the church. They will perform it on November 7th, which is our Christmas dinner, so their families can come and see them, you know, do their thing. We have categories of a choir, so they can sing. We have instrumentals, so they can play instruments that they have been learning. We have dance, interpretive dance, and acting. So if you know kids in the area that they have nowhere to express their gifts that God gave them because they don't go to church, or maybe they can't do it at church because of how it's set up, but we want to give them an opportunity here. Amen? Amen. So we are going to have this night on September 10th. It's a Thursday night from 6 to 8 p.m. where those families can come and bring their kids from ages 6 to 12. Okay? Everybody got that? So if you see a 6-year-old or a 12, any in between those in Walmart, just go up to them and tell them about it. September 10th, show up at Victory Christian Fellowship at 6 o'clock and your child can be participating. Amen? And it's not going to be an audition. It's just going to be for the child to pick which one they want to do, because I'm sure that they can do something for God. Amen? I think that's all the announcements that we need to make. Pastor Doug will be back. Prayer on Saturday. Is it this Saturday? Prayer this Saturday at, we're meeting here at 9:45, but we're going to which school? The middle school, Palmyra Middle School, to pray. So we're going to walk around that property and pray. That's our assignment as the church. And so that same day, Saturday, all the schools in Lebanon are going to be covered. Amen? Isn't that awesome? So we are going to meet here at 9:45. All right? So if you want to participate in that, just come on here at 9:45. Amen. Are you ready for the word tonight? So Pastor Doug has been doing a series. See how many pages of notes I have? Just so you can buckle in and get ready. I have my notes and I have Pastor Doug's notes. I wonder which sermon I should preach. But Pastor Doug has been doing a series called Live, Enter, and Possess. And that's a series that he's been doing on Wednesday night. So I wanted to continue that so that we can have all the information we need and keep growing. Amen? Let's get started. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And I have the Amplified, but maybe I should just read it in the King James. That way we can all follow along. Okay. It says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers give you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it." This is very key. So if you still have a Bible you write in, you want to underline those phrases, okay? "That you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God had destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day." And then it keeps going and it talks about the commandments that the Lord gave them are for them to teach their children. Okay? So if you were here on Sunday, Pastor preached an amazing message. I was sitting up front. I was trying to contain myself. He taught about the immutability of God. And if you weren't here, you want to listen to that sermon. Very important. Because it's going to reset you into realizing who the God is that you serve. And what he was sharing is that God does not change, which we all would agree, right? But here's the other part. His power, his promises, whatever he gives us, that does not change in its potency. In other words, it doesn't diminish over time. It doesn't get stale. It's not old, because the Bible is the God's words. They're spirit and life. It's living. It's breathing. And it's eternal. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word won't. Right? So it's very important that, as we see in Deuteronomy, where it says, don't add to the word of God, which a lot of people would never add to the word of God. They would think about that, you know? I don't want to add to the word of God. But it also says, do not diminish. And that really means don't lightly esteem the word of God. So to diminish the word of God is to really consider it not as potent as it is supposed to be. So your concept needs to be the exact importance that God puts on that word that he said needs to be identical in the importance that you put on the word. Do you see what I'm saying? So this verse in Deuteronomy 4 is telling us that in order to enter in, you have to not add to the word and not take away from the word. Lord was saying, this is a command. All right? Now, I want us to keep reading a little further. Okay? Verse 6, it says, well, let's go to verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me. This is Moses telling them, that you should do so in the land where you're going to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Now think about this for a minute. The reason we want to obey and follow the statutes and the commands of God is because his commands and statutes actually contain the image of God that he wants us to look like when we are in front of. Do you understand? So it's going to make us look different than someone that's not part of God's kingdom. And that gets a little tough to determine today, doesn't it? See, when I lived in Guyana, where it was very legalistic growing up, my Lord, I could not even wear lip gloss. It was a sin. It was so sad. And you know what everybody would say? How on earth would someone know you're a Christian if you wear pants and makeup? And I said to them one day, you know, how do they know if the men are Christians? Because their wardrobe is the same, whether they're Christian or not. I think we should give the men something to wear so they can be identified as Christians. In the meantime, a whole bunch of people would be fussing at each other and quarreling in the church. But hey, as long as you look the part, you are a Christian, really. So I remember having these conversations when I go back to visit. You know, when I go back to visit, people would be, we have an orphanage over there, you know, in Guyana. And when I go, one time, Doug and I went to speak at a youth camp. I sure hope nobody from Guyana listens to this. So we went to speak at a youth camp, and this is probably like 12, 13 years ago. It would be more than 13 years ago because I didn't have Gabriel yet. And do you know one of the big topic of discussions that they had a forum for these young people? They have their attention, and this is what they're telling them. They are not allowed to wear T-shirts that have any writing on it or any logo or anything. Now, we're talking a third world country that they're just happy to have clothing sometimes, and you're telling somebody they're not allowed to. This is the rule. This is what makes you holy. I was on that panel, boy. It took everything in me not to just like stand up and say, okay. But that's not how people know that we belong to God, right? Amen. The Bible tells us there's another way. If we love one another, right? That's the mark that we are Christians. Amen. Now, there's something about love. You cannot walk in love and look the same as somebody that doesn't. You can't. Do you know how you tell a wolf that's dressed in sheep clothing? Just wait till they start speaking. A wolf cannot sound like a sheep. Right? We have a lot of that going on today with our gender issues, you know. Could look the part, but when you start speaking. But anyway, I digress. Let's go to John 13, 34. But you have to understand what we see happening in the world is a good picture for us to understand what the enemy of your life intends. Everything about his strategies is to deceive or to take what God created as truth and to put on it his own version of it. So it kind of looks the same, it feels the same, but let me tell you, it's when the mouth is open, that's how you know the difference. The reason why we can tell the difference, and this is where you as a believer, you need to understand this, whenever you speak the word of God, it must be spoken by faith. Because that's how God speaks his own words. He believes them. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. So if you're going to use the Word of God, you have to keep its potency. You cannot add to it, and you cannot diminish it. So what could diminish it? Not speaking it in faith. That removes the power from it. You understand what I'm saying? Then what could add to it? Maybe what everybody else says about it. Maybe what is said about what it can't possibly be. Right? Maybe fear. Not the God kind of fear, but the man type of fear, right? But John chapter 13 and verse 34. I'm going to get there. Okay, John 13, 34. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And this right here, I'm reading this because the word commandment comes into play. See, we get hung up on the Ten Commandments, which is great. They are good. They're still commandments from God. They're still valid. They still mean what he said they meant when he said it, right? So it's not like we can no longer, we don't have to worry about idols anymore. Or we could just rearrange. Like, God doesn't have to be first. We can put him like fourth because, after all, he wants us to take care of family and all this stuff. No. It's still the same priority order. It's still as potent as when he gave it to Moses the second time. Now listen, if the Ten Commandments were not that important to God, if it was just a temporary, I need them to make do with this till I can really give them something solid. When Moses destroyed the first two tablets, God could have been like, okay, let's write it in sand next. Don't worry about going up back up to the mountain and doing all that. Let's just, you understand what I'm saying? But it was so important to God that he had it. It was redone, right? So that it could be kept. So we know that God, the commandments of God, they are still potent and strong, and they're still a commandment. So I'm showing you this because I want you to see the new commandment, love. It has the same potency. Thank you. That it wants us to do as the commandment to enter in, right? We're talking about entering, living, entering, and possessing the land. But you have to get this clear in your head. If you are a person that's reading the Bible and stuff isn't happening, like the stuff you read in the Bible, none of it happens for you, there could be a commandment problem. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everybody's staring at me like, huh? That's an Old Testament word. What are you talking about? But Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, right? In another place in the New Testament, it says that this sums up, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And this sums up all the commandments that he gave before, like the ones he gave in the Old Testament. So we don't get away from the word commandment. So in order to enter in and possess, we have to obey commandments. Everybody's got that? If you don't get that, then it becomes a hit or miss. Hit or miss, you know? Well, it worked yesterday. God, I don't know why. And so this is what we say. Well, maybe it wasn't your will. Maybe your word that I read was not your will. Maybe your word for healing, it really wasn't your will for me. Because after all, I am special. Okay? Now here's what happens. I'm going to show you that God so honors and respects his own word that he really cannot break them. Okay? As, Pastor Doug was preaching, if one thing that God said was a lie or is a lie, everything would collapse. Because everything we see, everything that it's held up by his word, right? So we know that God's word can't change to accommodate us. So what should happen? We need to be changing to accommodate the word of God, right? So let's look at some examples. Let's look at Moses. T- turn with me to Numbers 20, 8 to 12. Numbers chapter 20, verses 8 to 12. And we see here that this is what the Lord's telling Moses. Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, and Aaron thy brother, and speak unto the rod. Okay, so he said, take the rod, right? And speak to the rock before their eyes, that it will give them water. So verse 9, and Moses took the rod. So he did what God said. He took the rod, okay? Verse 10, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. So he was at the right place at the right time, getting ready to do what God had asked him to do. Correct? Okay. So he said to them, hear now, ye rebels. Must we fetch you water out of the rock? So kind of what disposition is Moses in right now? Yeah. I'm thinking like love kind of skipped out and got left in the tabernacle thing where he was talking to God, you know? Like his prayer closet kind of like magnet, like the love just kind of got sucked and stayed there like a magnet, you know? And he just come out there, took the rod, and he went to the rock. So Moses had the right, God told him, he did what God said while he was in the prayer closet, falling before his face, talking to God, right? Oh, yeah. And so he comes out, but his conversation with the people was not something God asked him to tell them. Actually, God asked him to take his mouth and to speak to the rock. God didn't tell him to take his mouth and speak to the people. So let's just take a look at this. So, you know, so Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because Aaron was there, and Aaron could have stopped him, right? Because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Do you see what just happened? Moses added an element into the instruction God gave him that caused the people, not to be separated. Sanctify means to be separated. You understand what I'm saying? God wanted them to see the power of words, of their mouth, of words, and what it could do, because he had never really spoken to the rock before. I think he had struck it before. So he did the same thing that was not, God didn't tell him to do that. Do you see? So because he did that, him and Aaron were both there, so they were both participating in it. All right, because Aaron didn't stand up and go, wait, that's not what we just heard from God. Because Aaron probably thought they were rebels too. Do you understand? Now, do you see how you can get in trouble when there is agreement on error? So here's how you end up adding to God's word. When you take something God says and you get a partner in crime, dissect it to kind of come to the conclusion that it can't possibly be true, or it doesn't happen in today's time. I am sure of this. Somewhere on this planet, in a desert somewhere on this planet Earth, there have been people in today's time that have had to speak to a rock so water can come out of it. It's just not documented, right? Because they don't have FaceTime and they don't have YouTube to show a video of it. But I am sure people who hang on to this word, if you were stuck in a desert and did not have water for days, this same word that God told Moses and Aaron to do, that same word can happen for you. Because it's still God's word. Do you hear me? The same way that God fed the prophet from a raven, where he went and brought him stuff, food, right? God could still do that today. Like, it's the same potent word of God. Okay? So there's an example of somebody who added to the word. Let's go now to Genesis chapter 3. So we all know that Moses nor Aaron entered into the promised land, right? And tonight the message is about entering in, right? Okay? So we know it's not that there's a lack of a place to go. There simply is seem to be some missteps in getting there. Okay? And that's on our part, not God's. So let's look at Genesis chapter 3. And the serpent, we'll start verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat forever of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, if you go before this, where God actually told them what to do, God did not tell them not to touch it. Because after all, God asked Adam to tend to the garden. So here we have someone who added to what God said. God never told her not to touch a tree. The first thing she did wrong was having a conversation with Satan. That was the first problem right there. But then that led to another issue. So what I'm trying to get across to you today is that you never consult someone who was not qualified to speak the word of God about the word of God. It's just crazy. Because you know why? They will have to bring it down to their own understanding. And what does the Bible say? Lean not to your own understanding. But in all your ways, we should acknowledge who? God. Because it all comes back to him. If we're going to use the Bible and say we believe in God, we're Christians and we believe in the word of God, then we have to actually believe it and not just believe that it's true somewhere out there in the past or for somebody else. We have to believe that it's true for me. Because I can guarantee you, if I'm stuck in a desert somewhere or even out there in the car with a two-hour traffic jam, I'm praying water show up from somewhere, because it happened for the children of Israel. I'm telling you. You know what I'm saying? You don't sit around someplace where you need something that God has provision for, and you're just sitting there going, what's going to happen? Oh, I'm going to die. Every place that we see the widows, you remember the widows in the Old Testament? When they were eating their last meal, they had nothing in the house. God showed up and did stuff that nobody else could do that was not part of God's people. So if we are going to express to the world that we are God's people, we have to look the way God wants us to look, not how we think we should look. Okay? So, Moses struck the rock. Eve added to the word. Both of them added to the word. But I want you to notice something from all this adding to the word. They were all where they were supposed to be. They didn't add to the word because they were in the wrong place. Moses was supposed to be in front of the rock. He was supposed to take the rod, so he took it. So sometimes the enemy can come in and tell you that, of course, you're obedient to the word. What do you mean you're not obedient? You do this and you do that, but he doesn't tell you what you're adding. You're not obedient to the word of God if you have changed it. Because you are no longer dealing with the word of God if you changed it. You're now dealing with something that's mixed. Would you agree? If you eliminate a part of the word of God, that's not the word of God. Because the Bible says precept upon precept, line upon line. Every jot and tittle. The Bible says, don't take away, don't add anything to my word, because it is a complete word. Do you hear me? So our job is not to make the word user-friendly. It's already user-friendly. Amen? Okay. You remember Jesus in Mark 6. Let's go to Mark 6, 5 is where it tells the account. Well, we're talking Jesus, who is the Word, right? The Bible said that he's the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us in John. So Mark chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled, wow. He marveled because of their unbelief. And he went around about the villages teaching. What do you think he was teaching? He was teaching the word. Because they could not receive, because they had somebody else's word. Whose word did they have? Well, they had all the laws and the scribes and the Pharisees and all them legalism, you know, all them rules. You can't wear pants and you can't wear lipstick if you're a girl. They had all those rules to deal with. And so because of all those rules, when the fresh manna from heaven shows up, when the fresh word shows up and walks among them, it couldn't get into them because of their unbelief. So unbelief takes away from the Word of God. If you want to know what diminishes the Word of God, it is unbelief. And unbelief can show up in a lot of ways. It can show up by saying, well, it's just how we are. Or it can show up by being, well, nobody in my family's ever done that before. Or it can show up as in like, well, you just don't know my past, just how much hurt and pain I've gone through. It can show up as, well, we just don't have enough people to help us pray for this to happen. Remember I said the Word of God is potent and it can stand all on its own. You just have to hook in to the word by agreeing with exactly what it says. So if the word says you shall walk 10 steps and then when you get to the 10th step, there'll be a ladder there to climb up, then you better start walking. Don't be standing there going, well, you know, I'm counting 10 steps. And I don't see no ladder. You see what you just added? Analysis. You just added man's mindset to the Word of God. The Word of God is in a whole different league by itself. And the Bible tells us that the unbeliever, those who are still in sin, who still have their sin nature and never received Jesus as Savior, never received salvation, was never made a new creation in Christ, they can't see the things of the Spirit. It's like crazy stuff to them. So, of course, to them, they can't see that there'll be a ladder at the end of 10 steps. There's no way. Nobody would ever dare build a ladder in the middle of the, like, that's crazy. Yeah. That beats every natural law, doesn't it? Well, I'm sure the ladder that was going up and down from heaven when Jacob laid his head on a rock to go to sleep, that was probably pretty crazy too, wouldn't you say? I mean, angels climbing up and down. Like, could you go tell your grandkids that story? Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? But it happened, right? Are you getting something out of this? Okay. I have Matthew 15 here, and I don't know why, so let's go look. Matthew 15, 21, 28. Okay. Okay. So this is the story of the woman that came and cried to Jesus. And, oh, this is good. Okay, now I know why I was writing that down. So you know this story, okay? This story is about the woman who came crying to Jesus, asking for her daughter, was grievously vexed with devils, right? And Jesus said, verse 23, he didn't answer her at first, you know? And his disciples came and sought him out and say, send her away, because she's bugging us, right? And then he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And then she just ran off crying, because how dare him speak to her like, no. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Okay? Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Let me tell you something. This woman knows, she already knew, that Jesus said stuff that caused other people who had the same problem she had to get completely fixed up. And she was not letting that word go. Do you hear me? So she waited there and she had an answer for every. This is the same scenario that we read about, kind of, with Naomi and Ruth. You remember Ruth and Naomi? And how she wouldn't let it go. So many opportunities she had to let it go, but she didn't let it go. Let me tell you something. When you find a word of God that you need for your life, you don't let it go. And if the devil comes and says that God said you can't have it, that's what God said, you can't have it. Because how am I going to take the children's bread and give it to dogs, right? You can have a conversation with God on this story right here, but you give it to the woman who was considered a dog. Check that out. So for everybody that ever had this nice, cozy excuse, well, I just see examples of where they were more of a Christian than me, and it's not working for them. Who makes them think it's going to work for me? For sure, it's not going to work. That right there. See this story right here? Go. If you want to call yourself a dog, even the people who were considered dogs got their miracle from God. Do you understand me? So there's nothing that the devil can come tell you about who you are that still does not get overridden if you just believe the word of God for you. I am sure this woman's daughter being grieved and vexed with devils affected her life tremendously, right? The Bible didn't even say that she brought the girl. She just came herself. That's how much she was confident that Jesus, the Word, would work for her. Okay? Somebody's calling. Now, the first thing that you have to be, the first qualification to enter into and live and possess what God has prepared for you, which, by the way, he prepared for every human being. But you have to qualify with step number one, which is eternal life. Dead people cannot possess God's promises. A person is dead if they still have their sin nature and they never became born again and a brand new creature. You understand that? Amen. So when somebody who is unsaved and refuses to follow Jesus, some of the promises that we enjoy, they just have no access to. Now, Jesus healed a lot of people that were not followers of his, you understand, because healing is a good wake-up call for people to know who God is and to kind of come in and get to know him. So the thing is, but think about this, folks. Healing happens just as a regular thing. It's not that big of a deal. Really. I know it sounds so... It's when we make it such a burden. We're adding to the word that's not there. I'm telling you, healing is normal. It's just normal. And don't let time tell you that you're running out of time. You tell time what it's supposed to do. You don't let time dictate what happens to you. You understand? So people, a lot of people give up because they feel like, well, it's too late. For who? How many people did Jesus heal on their deathbeds? How many people did Jesus heal that were dead? You understand? So you have examples in the Bible that you know if death decides to show up early, it's still got to bow to the name of Jesus if you're not ready to go. Just find somebody around you that could actually agree with that. So when, if death shows up, they can actually speak to you and you could hear them and come back. You understand what I'm saying? But when we make things a big deal, we're adding a burden to the word. He said, Jesus said, my yoke is what? It's easy. And my burden is light. It's so light, you really shouldn't feel it. You understand what I'm saying? But if you're a Christian and you're dragging around, oh, I just don't know. I'm going through. Going through what? Listen to me. You need to be the example of the world that shows what easy and light looks like. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. God's word is not too heavy for us to bear. He even said, he won't put more on you than you can handle. And this has nothing to do with sickness and disease. Let me tell you something. It has to do with what you can handle. What are you spiritually capable of handling? What do you have the maturity level to handle? And your love walk is a huge determinant of that occurring. You hear me? The word of God is so potent that I could be here and I could speak the word of God over another part of the world, and guess what happens? It happens. That's what Jesus did with this woman, wasn't it? She believed, and he said, your faith just did it, and it happened the same moment. Didn't it happen to Jairus' daughter? Do you understand? So it doesn't matter if the situation changes when you first came with that word that you found. The word can still fix it. Because remember Jairus' daughter, she wasn't dead in the beginning. Or even the servant girl, she wasn't dead. They were just sick, right? But on the way, death came. But the word still worked. Do you hear me? So you have to be assured and completely convinced that the word of God does not need to be added to. And it does not need to be taken away from. Because once you start messing with it, you have totally diminished its power. Because it's no longer the word of God. Isn't that what Eve did? Eve messed with the word of God. It wasn't what God said. God didn't tell them not to touch it. I hope they were touching it to take care of it. But she added that to it. So obviously maybe Adam was the only one taking care of it. She probably was. Makes you wonder if she was thinking of it as a nuisance. You know, we could just get rid of this thing that we're not allowed to have anyway. You know, anyway, don't want to add to the word. So then the second point is we pass from life to death, right? And it says in John 5:24-26, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. I shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Okay? So the Word of God takes us from death to life. Do you see why the Word could work even if death has happened? You know, for some of you who have been holding on to death, maybe a loved one died or something, and you just kept that death as your little, you know, that's an idol. That's an idol. It's worshiping a dead thing. And do you know how you worship that dead thing? When it becomes the thing, when it has to become the yes or no to your actions. So in other words, I can't do this because I had a debt, this person died and I'm, you know, I'm just afraid of this. Or I can't do this because if they, the person who died, they would never want me to do this. So in other words, you're honoring a dead person against the Word of God. Do you understand? The Bible tells us that we should give honor where honor is due. Where's the first place we should give honor? To God's Word. Nobody else should get honored above the Word of God. So if you find yourself living in the past, honoring dead stuff, that's an idol. And you can't worship the Lord God with all your heart and love Him with all your heart when you got this dead thing. I'm not telling you not to remember your loved ones fondly and to thank God. Thank God for the time you had with them. But they can't be your current God. Amen. Come on now. Do you understand? You have to let it go. And you have to pass from death to life. You have to live. And the scriptures have to become alive for you so you can live. Amen? And let's go to Deuteronomy 6 and we'll wrap up here. Deuteronomy 6. Might just actually, you have it as a reference and I'll give you the list. But here it is. These are the commandments. Again, the Lord's word is as potent as it was back in the days of Moses and the children of Israel as it is to us now. Okay? It says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it. Now let me tell you something. If you come into the land of the kingdom of God, okay, and you don't do these things, you could very well be living in the land and starving and wondering how I could be in the land of milk and honey plenty and still be starving. You understand? And it's because these things are missing. So here we go. Verse 2, that thou mayest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. So God wants us to have long life. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers had promised thee in the land that flows with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Didn't we see this expressed in the New Testament, right? And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. How many families could say this happens in their house? Let me tell you something. Our children can only learn some things from us. Like, we can't teach them everything. Like, we don't have them 24/7 in the church. You understand what I'm saying? But they're living in your house. And at your house, if the number one topic is somebody else's life, you are building a house that crumbles. Let me tell you. My husband and I made established this a long time ago when we had just gotten married. He tells you the story, if you've, you know, heard him preach, he'd tell you the story. You know how he had a little bit of a problem in his heart with a pastor when he was younger, and the pastor kind of like said he would let him do certain things that he didn't. You know, these preachers that get called by God, they just want to go out there and preach right away, you know. So this pastor didn't let him preach right away. I don't know what the problem was. Anyway, so this is like years later. He already went to Rhema. He was graduated, ordained minister, all this stuff. And we're in the car driving one day. We're going to church. And he is saying something regarding this story. And I said, okay, let's just stop right there for a minute. I'll never forget it because he is driving down on the way to church. Let me explain something to you. Never, ever am I ever going to agree with your grievance. You better get rid of it now because this girl is not agreeing with it. It needs to go. And if you don't plan to let it go, then I have a major problem for the rest of this marriage. So you either decide, you know what I'm saying? And it went. But the other thing we decide is, when we became pastors, was we will never talk about people. You know, you got to hear all kinds of problems. Lots of people don't like you, and some people do. We're never going to discuss people and their issues with us for more than like a couple sentences if we want to understand something. You understand? But it's not a topic in our home. It's never around the dinner table. As a matter of fact, when cell phones came in 99 or when 2000, well, we had cell phones by then. Doug and I got cell phones, and Doug was working a second job at a bank in Ephrata, so he had a long drive home. And this is what we did. When Doug would start his drive home, I would tell him anything he needed to know that occurred concerning the church. You know, people would call me, yell and scream at me, whatever, whatever. I would let him know of all those things, and we will solve that problem on the phone while he was on his way, which you could be on the phone back then. And so when he got home, when he got to our house, we had family time. None of that business had to come. And this was him working, a working pastor. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't like he was full time. And that, and here's why. Because none of that stuff, and those people are long gone. Some are, you understand what I'm saying? People come and go, whatever. So we know we have a right heart that if we saw, when we've seen those people anywhere, we never had to feel embarrassed or like, you know, how we've been talking about them in our home or between each other. You understand what I'm saying? It's over. And this is key for your house. Keep your house precious. So that the presence of God feels welcomed. Do you see how Moses made a big error that cost him? He couldn't even go in and benefit from what he dragged them people out of Egypt to benefit from. Do you understand? And it was the people who were murmuring. It was their kids and all them family that got the benefit of all the hard work he did. And what did he do? He let love slip for a moment and called them rebels. You rebels! And his attitude was not right as a leader before the people. And this is the same man who stopped God from doing stuff to them. He's like, are you going to bring them out into the wilderness to, you know, and everybody's going to say, what kind of God do they serve? Yeah, you remember that? And here he was. He was called the meekest man on the earth. But God's word, he doesn't break his own word. So when he says something, what he says, we have to do. Because if we don't, then there are consequences to it. You see? And he can't reverse the consequence of his own word. It's his word. You see, he can reverse a curse from the enemy, but he doesn't go in and reverse his own word because he's truth. You understand? Did you learn something tonight? Why don't we stand together and let us, why don't we just do a clean slate? What do you say? Clean slate. It doesn't matter what happened before you came, who you talked about in your house before you showed up here. Doesn't matter which verse you read in the Bible and went, you know, I don't think that applies to me. It doesn't matter what you've been standing on for so long, it never happened, right? You now have a new understanding. Got it? And this new information now, we have to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. Because when we hear and we don't do, we deceive ourselves. We're not deceiving God, right? We're deceiving ourselves. And our image in the world among the other nations, you know what that could represent is the other religions. We look no different because we have no power. Because when we speak, nothing happens. Because we've taken away or added to the word. You understand? So we have to come back in alignment with the word of God. All right? Now, go ahead and play that song. What I want to do is I want to do a general prayer that we all just kind of straighten ourselves out. But then if you need personal prayer, I want you to come up and we're going to pray. Amen? Because the Bible does tell us that we can lay hands on people and pray for them. Jesus anointed people. He sent them out two by two to do all kinds of stuff. Everything Jesus could do, he had his anointing on people to do. Amen? So, Father, just pray. Lift your hands if you want, whatever you need to do, but let's get it right. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you, Father, that your word is true and it happens. And it cannot change. And so, Father, as a church tonight, we come and we say that we repent if we have ever added or taken away from your word for our life, any word that you have spoken to us directly as a rhema word from heaven, or any word that we have seen written that is the Logos word of God. Father, we come in this house tonight and we say that we apply faith. We apply our belief in who you are. You are the unchangeable God. And there is nothing about you that has ever been defeated. And so, Father, we stand in this knowing that our God is victorious every time. And that nothing is ever impossible with you. And so, Father, it is with that knowledge and that understanding and that faith and that belief that we stand tonight and we say that we believe that you can do exactly what you said that you can do. And so, Father, we just create a realignment of our hearts. And I speak that we do have the mind of Christ. As your word says, that we have mind Christ. And so, Father, I ask you to teach us how to use your mind to do your will. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. We magnify you. Come on, just worship him tonight because he is worthy. Lord, we put you above every problem. We reprioritize anything that the enemy has snuck in there to take up our time. Against you, Father, we bring it back into order. And we say that we cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us. Just like your word says, Father. Just like your word says. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that as the word says, by the stripes on Jesus' back, we are the healed. We agree with that word tonight, and we receive it, Father. We thank you, Lord. Father, you said, us and our household shall be saved. And we receive that word, and we accept that word, and we will not turn from that word. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that your word is potent today as it was back when it was said. Father, you said that if the blood is applied, that you will pass over, that the enemy and death has to pass over the bloodline. So, Father, we apply the blood of Jesus to our houses, to our doorposts, to our hearts and to our lives, Father. We thank you, Lord. We give you glory and honor and praise. Thank you, Father, for your anointing. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving in this place. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. So I want you, life that has added or removed from the word, and you need prayer to break that stuff off, I'm going to agree with you tonight. And even if you did some self-inflicted wounded from adding or removing from the word of God, whatever you need prayer for, just come on up.